welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Not because of righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Have a seat, folks. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your kindness and Your love. Lord, if it weren't for Your kindness, we wouldn't be here, Lord. But You reached out to us in Your kindness and Your love. You looked upon us and You said, I want that one. And we thank You so much, Savior, Redeemer, Lover of our souls, Friend, oh God, Friend, thank You so much. Hallelujah. Book of Titus, what we've been reading through Colossians, Peter, Titus, it's Hebrews next, in case anybody's thinking, where are we up to? Hebrews follows. But there's some good stuff there. And what I want to do this morning is really simple. Message is very, very simple. It's to know Him and to make Him known. Very simple. And we'll see what the Lord does, but my thinking is that I'm going to get you guys to do something, so be ready for that. But we're going to have communion later. So just regard this as the start of communion, and let Him feed you from His word. Because I want to read some scriptures today, which, like that one, are just wonderful, and they're for you. This is what He says about you. When He looks at you, He smiles, and that's what He says about you. So where am I going this morning? We have been chosen to know Him and to make Him known. And the trials that we overcome become our stories that will help others to find Jesus. Very simple. Very simple. And my aim, what I feel is on the heart of God this morning, is to help us to turn our troubles into testimonies. Because that's what the world needs. It needs your kindness, the kindness of God in you, reaching out to people to say, God loves you. He hasn't given up on you. He never forgot you. He understands your troubles. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your trials are. And He is an answer. He is the answer. He's there for you. Judy, can you play the Broadwater clip, please? We had such a good time at Broadwater Carnival. Just a few pictures there. There's no sound to go with it. The vision behind it, and God did give a vision for it, was, as Richard was reading earlier at the start of the meeting, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. We wanted His goodness to be in the air. We wanted it to be a joy. We wanted it to be pleasant for people. We wanted them to smell the hope and just to know the goodness of God. So there were great stories told. We had an entire day full of testimonies and stories and fun and free tea and free coffee and free cakes, which you provided. We blessed Worthing. You blessed Worthing at the Broadwater Carnival. And it was a joy. It was just great. So the vision was, taste and see, God is good. And this is what the Lord says about you. These are just wonderful scriptures that we've been reading over the past week. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are chosen. Come on, you're chosen. Woo, come on, Lord. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. a holy nation, God's special possession. He doesn't hold you lightly. Do you know that? He holds you in the palm of his hand. Special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Priesthood. One of the roots of that word is the Latin pontifex, which means bridge builder. You're an engineer, Colin. Bridge building, come on. Bridge needs to be good, it needs to be strong, it needs to go from point A to point B, it needs to be something that people and traffic can pass over without collapsing.
And people get grumpy if it breaks.
They do. They get very grumpy if it breaks. But we are called, we're a priesthood, and part of that is to be bridge builders. As it says in Peter, we're called to declare his wonderful praises because God has chosen you. He picked you out. I want that one. And we're called to declare his wonderful praises, to be that bridge between other folks who need him, who need to know that God has already spoken his favor over us. God isn't mad at them. God loves them and wants to bring them into relationship with him. Just wants to smile on them and for them to know his smile and receive his smile and engage in that relationship, father to son, father to daughter, to know that we're loved. We're called to do that. How do we do it? We're called to know him, part of our calling. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, praying for unity this morning, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Whew. This is not a little bit. This is the full fat big deal. The full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when God looks on us, when God looks on you, he has more for you, Liz, than you can possibly ask him for. He has more treasure for you than you can even imagine. The full riches of complete understanding. The whole deal is yours. All of it. And it's Jesus. And this word know, God's been speaking to me over the past few weeks about intimacy with him. And I'm slightly bowled over by what I'm beginning to sense from him. But this word to know him, that you may know Christ, the word is gnosis, it's Greek. And it doesn't just mean know. It means a knowledge gained through first-hand relationship. It's intimate. Contact knowledge. Intimacy. We're not called to know about him. We're called to know him. And a similar phrase is used of knowing one another in marriage. It's intimacy that God calls us to. But so often we settle for knowing about. So often we settle for touch and run. We touch heights and we come back. God wants to make our ceilings our floor in terms of our relationship with him. The places that we touch become the ground on which we stand. And it's about intimacy. It's about knowing him. It's about love expressed. God wants us to be bowled over by his love for us. Completely bowled over, overwhelmed by his love for us. He is passionate. And he calls us into that passionate relationship with him to know and to love. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Can you say in abundance? In abundance. Loads of it, tons of it, masses of it. Through the knowledge, same word, of God and Jesus our Lord. How do we receive what God has given for us? All of the grace. God has given so much grace for us. There is so much for us. More than we can even comprehend. How do we receive it? We receive it through knowing him. Intimately, personally, loving him, lingering in his presence. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, this intimate, personal first contact, first person contact with him, of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We're called to know. And one of the things that I've been sensing, he woke me up the other day, and I'll read it to you, actually, because it might help us when we take communion. Don't worry, it's not all these pages. Sometimes when God speaks, the way he tends to speak to me is when I'm unconscious, because that's the only time I'm listening. So I wake up in the mornings with a sense that God's saying something, and I surface, and I could settle for the headline, the one phrase that I've heard, because it's good, but I'm learning to get up and listen and talk to him and receive more and unpack it. It's as though he's downloaded a folder, and that folder needs to be unpacked and opened and read. And this was my reflection on what I felt the Lord was showing me. This is not a prophecy, this is a prayer from me or a thought from me. How much of my time in prayer is spent talking to God? And how much of my time in prayer is spent listening to what God has said to me? How much of my time in prayer is spent telling God what to do rather than listening to him telling me personally and individually what he would like me to do? How much of my prayer time is, my Father in heaven, my will be done, rather than your will be done? How much of my time in prayer is actually telling God what I consider his will to be, rather than listening to his specific will for my life? Am I giving God room to speak? How many of my prayers are like lists? How much of my prayer time is devoted to reading off my mental list of what I believe God wants? You know? Come to God in prayer with a whole bunch of things we want him to do because we're convinced that's his will. Is this really prayer? Should I not be listening to the desires of his heart, hearing his heartbeat? Is my prayer time focused on my words and my will? And if my prayer time is focused on his written word, the scriptures, then it's focused on his general will for us all rather than his specific will for me. So am I substituting his word and my words for intimacy with him? Am I pausing for long enough to listen to his heartbeat when I pray? You see, God's will is the expression of God's love. God is love. So whatever he wants for you is his love in your life. That love is towards others, but it's also towards me. So when I pray, am I experiencing his love? Because I am sure that the God who is love, who wants to be known, wants me to experience the joy of his love. God loves it when you worship. He loves it when you pray, Louisa, because your love is just poured out to him. He loves it. Am I lingering long enough in his presence? Do I sense his eyes upon me or his smile? Is this my actual experience? Am I living in the favor of his love? Or am I being somehow formal and keeping my distance? Should I be spending more time listening and less time talking when I pray? More time agreeing with what he says and less time expecting him to agree with me? Is my prayer time with my Father in heaven an intimate exchange of love? Am I receiving as well as giving? Am I receiving his love? Am I receiving his will for me, that specific, personal and intimate expression of his love, a love that is to be known and experienced, not just by all in general, but by me in particular when I pray, when you pray. Here and now, on earth, right now, as it is in heaven, am I knowing as well as being known? Am I intimate with the Almighty? God's been speaking to me about intimacy. Colossians 1, 9 to 13. Actually, just before I read that, in practical terms for me, what that means is when I pray, I am learning to shut up. I'm learning to stand, and I'm finding it very difficult. I'm standing in complete silence before God. Not all the time, but some of the time. I worship, get my eyes on him and off me, and then I'm learning to stand in complete silence before God. Not even thinking. Just being in his presence. It's him. I'm not into some daft New Age stupidity. It's Jesus. It's my Father in heaven. And the first thing that happens is a smile comes on my face. That's the first thing that happens because I know I'm in the presence of one who loves me. And then I can listen. Colossians 1, 9 to 13. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. I want that, don't you?
Yeah.
I want to please God, and I want my life to be fruitful. I don't want it to be wasted. I want it to bear fruit. I really, really want that. How's it going to happen? Clues in the next half sentence. Growing in the knowledge of God, this intimate knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Oh, don't really want to have to need that. But I'm grateful for it when I do. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. There are times in our lives when we need great endurance and patience. Because God is faithful, and as I've said so many times, what a faithful God wants from his people is faithfulness in the gap between, Lord, where are you? I need this, and that arriving. The gap. When you say, I need 25 hours. You're telling me, take what you're giving me. You're giving me 17 and a half. How's this going to work, Lord? At that moment, what he says is, just trust me. It's okay, because I'm for you, not against you. It will work out. Be faithful. Trust me. Do you remember the story last week from Rob about his job? What he said was he heard an audible voice saying, just trust me on this. Looked around, nobody there. Just trust me. I've got this in hand. Wonderful. So it's in the gap. It's in the gap when we need to be the faithful people of God. We haven't yet got what we need. We haven't seen it. We don't feel it. We can't see how it's going to happen. But it's at that point. That's a trial. That's a test. So let's talk about overcoming trials. Our trials become our testimonies. We've heard one today. We heard one last week. Our trials become our testimonies. And that becomes your ministry. Your weakness, overcome, becomes your ministry to other people. Yeah? Where God has brought you through, that's how you minister to other people in the same place. That's where you're made useful. That's where God has real fruit, where you overcome, and we're called to overcome them. 1 Peter 1, 3-7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Can you say never?
Never.
Never. Your inheritance is forever. It's written. It is written. It's in his book. He's probably got people building a mansion for you right now. It will never, ever fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. How do we respond when there's a trial? By faith, like we respond to everything. By faith. Not in fear, not in doubt, not in anxiety. These things need to be overcome. That then becomes your testimony. That then becomes your ministry. But we respond in faith. We will go through trials. We've just seen it in the song. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, for I've overcome the world. And as we take heart, we overcome the trouble. And that becomes our testimony, and that becomes our ministry. We just play this video. You'll know the words of the song. This is about the refining of gold, and this is what God is doing in our lives. I think the soundtrack of that needed a little bit of refining, but we got the gist. Okay, so this fire comes, and there's a time of testing that takes place, and there's a lot of refining that goes on. But what God is producing in your lives and mine is pure gold, and it's eternal. It's there forever. And it's not there just for us, it's there for others. This is the work that he's doing. You know, we saw in the video earlier, I don't know if you noticed, when the guys were singing on the Hillsong video, The screen was behind him, and there was a great big projection of the singer, who's a big beefy guy anyway, but that's projected large behind him. When God looks at you, he sees that behind you is the refined version of yourself. Behind you is the finished product, and he calls it out. He says, come on, I know what's there. I know what's there, and I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that. And there's no other way that that's going to happen apart from being in the stretch zone. There's no other way that that's going to happen apart from the heat being turned up and the hammering being done. Yeah. It isn't going to happen any other way, folks. Sorry. That's just how it is. So what's our response to that? It's all about attitude. Fred was telling me earlier today, God's been speaking to me about this scripture here, James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials and tests are not set in place to fail us or disqualify us. We might have inherited that from our school system, which sees the exams, and you think, it's either binary, I'm going to pass or I'm going to fail. I'm going to be qualified or I'm going to be disqualified. It's not so with God at all. They are to make us mature. Every trial we go through, responded to correctly, grows us in maturity and grows us in the glory and the presence and the knowledge of God and grows us in usability for his kingdom. Every single test, every single trial coming from the loving heart of God who loves us enough to put us through this is for your good. Everyone, everyone, everyone is for your good. From a heart of love. The trials are to produce pure gold. So how do we approach the trials? It's all about the attitude. When a trial comes your way, try thinking like this. It's time for my upgrade. You think, oh, what's going on? It's time for my upgrade. That's what's going on. God is lifting you higher. God is turning your ceiling into your floor. Yeah? What you might only have been able to touch occasionally before will become your floor so that you can walk upon that. It's time for your upgrade. When things get tough, it's time for your upgrade. But it's all about what we allow God to do in our hearts over that time. And it begins by counting it pure joy. That's not easy. It really isn't easy. We know that's not easy. But that's the choice to say, thank you, Lord. I know you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You have got this. I can't see it, but you can. And I thank you. It's time for my upgrade. I thank you that what appears right now to be a lack of provision is the beginning of fresh provision in my life. Two new jobs in 2 weeks for people here. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. That's what God is doing for us all. It's all about maturity in Christ, eternal maturity, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many here have tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And my guess is that in many of those cases, it's going to be through the trial, coming out the other side of the trial, through overcoming. So we each of us have a story to tell. And actually, we're called to prepare those stories. So 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the hope, the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Colossians 4, 5 and 6. I hope you realize these are all the ones we've done in the past week. Come on. "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." People need hope. You have it. You have it by the bucket load. Hope has been lavished on your life. And people need hope. So we're called to prepare our stories. So let's just think, what kind of trials do people face? What do people go through? Tell me.
Sickness.
Missing planes. Missing planes, yeah, delays.
Family problems.
Family problems. Issues,
money, everything.
Family, relationships. Money, you're covering a lot of ground there, Stuart. It's good. Anything else?
Bereavement.
Yeah. Ooh. And actually, in that one, bereavement is summed up most of these other things we've heard, because it's so easy to feel abandoned. And we can feel abandoned by God, and it's a lie. Because he will never leave us or ever forsake us. The feelings at times may go. We may get overwhelmed by circumstances. The enemy may attack and lie to us and say, you've been abandoned.
And bereavement is part of that feeling, isn't it, that someone you loved is gone. But in it all, God never leaves us. But there are times when we have to persevere, come through, come out the other side. And the best and quickest way of doing that is with thankfulness and joy, rejoicing. Thankfulness, it's the best way to do it. Okay, can you just spend a minute and think about a trial that you've overcome? Think about how God helped you face a trial that you overcame. Okay, let's just move you around a little bit. Can you find somebody that you don't know terribly well? And in no more than 3 minutes, share with them that story of how God helped you overcome a very specific thing in your life. Not asking you to say how you became a Christian, but how you overcame a trial. That's what the world needs to know. And then they need to know the one who helped you overcome. Okay, let's do that. Have you heard some good stories? Oh, stories are still going on. Anybody got a good story they'd like to tell us all? Yeah, come on, Fred. You got a good story for us?
Everyone listening, you're all listening, coming out of here. Out of your zone, so I can hear what I've got to say. This is an up-to-date one, and that scripture, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials made different kinds, testing your faith, but it's perseverance and that sort of thing. So I'd had on the 28th, which was on the Thursday, 28th, something like that, we just had a sort of a long family day celebrating me. The eldest daughter's birthday, so that was absolutely brilliant. The whole family all together, all in one place. And we actually got to the end of the day. We said, "Well, you know, farewell." You know, we sort of cuddled each other and everything like that. We went home. It was about 9 o'clock at night. So I actually get home, sitting there. Well, that was a great thing. And next thing, I get my granddaughters phoning up and saying, "Granddad, get round here. They're fighting. John and Nikki are fighting each other." So I fly from the time back round there, and they're swinging the Fs at each other. You know, they're really get on it, they're fighting each other. So this guy, John, he's about 18 stone. He's a big guy, so he's getting older for her. Eventually, I'm actually tearing him off of her, and so I've got a few bruises, but. You know the story of Goliath? Next thing I know, I've clobbered him a couple of times, I've hit him twice, and so that's the end of the story. So at this point, when my daughter saw him hitting me, she got onto the cops, so the cops were in on it, and he ended up in the cell for 24 hours. So I don't know the ongoing, how this is all going to work out, but I'm just believing something good is going to come out of the whole thing. But that is, that's so current with what Andrew was saying about consider it pure joy. So that's a real current one for me. But I'm looking for something good to come out of it. That's not the first time it's actually happened in this relationship. You know, in January the same thing occurred, exactly the same thing. Cops getting called up and everything like that. And then eventually he comes round to apologise how sorry it was, it all took place and everything like that, you know. And he's never going to do it again, and that sort of thing. And he's talking about counselling and stuff like that. So that gives me an opportunity to tell him about Christ and share the gospel of who Jesus is with him, because he's got a sort of a heavy drink thing, if you like, and he's never going to be totally free from it unless he asks God to, the Holy Spirit starts to work in him to set him free from it. So That's an ongoing thing. When I spoke to him, he seemed to receive everything that I said. And so, yeah, the thing I don't get is whether I could get the God bit and everything. But you know, I spoke. So God always gives us the grace in times like that. It seems to me your most, the greatest time of need that the Holy Spirit kicks in, and the grace of God kicks in through difficult times. So, you know, and it seems to me that these things, you know, like Andrew was saying, but you come through stuff and then you come out different at the other end of it. I seem to be, I sort of got a catalogue of stuff that I've gone through and look back and say, you know, the grace of God was in all that, and I could see, you know, particularly when a lot of people are praying for you as well. What a big, tremendous dynamic that makes in your life. If you've got something going on, make sure that you let everyone know, the leadership know, the church know. Don't just let it go, you know, get other people praying for you, put prayer cards in, because when other people are praying for you, it actually puts you in a different place. You come through in a different way that you wouldn't do, you know, otherwise. And grace of God is there, and it's like Andrew said, we come out as pure gold.
So let's stand and pray with Fred. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this man.
Jesus.
Thank you for this man that you love and you treasure, Lord. Thank you for everything that you built into his life. Father, I thank you that his granddaughter rang.
That's nice.
Thank you that Fred was in.
That's you
Fred was able to go there and separate them. Yeah. Thank you that Fred is now a hero to his daughter. Thank you that he was able to share the gospel. And Lord, we stand with him and we declare salvation to this household. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You're the answer, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're the answer.
Thank you, Lord.
You're the answer, Jesus. And however that is, Lord, Fred's been speaking, but we just ask you to speak right into the hearts
Amen.
Of his daughter and John, is it?
John. Yeah.
Right into their hearts, Lord. Right into their hearts, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just show them
Thank
how
you,
much
Lord.
You love them.
Thank you, Lord.
May they know your favor. May they know it. May they sense and experience your love.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And your hand on their lives. And you calling them higher. And we breathe hope into that situation.
Thank you, Jesus.
It might have happened before, but we breathe hope into it. And Lord, we just want to see the very roots of this dealt with. The very roots of it dealt with. Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank
Jesus'
you.
Name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Communion for us, Fred.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to just stay standing for a second. We're going to take communion. If you think about it, no, actually sit down, sorry. I'm going to keep you on your feet forever. If you think about it, the behavior that we go into when we don't know God or when we forget that God loves us, we behave like orphans. We behave like people who've forgotten that we're loved, forgotten that God's chosen us, forgotten. Some people didn't know it and we need to tell them. But when we go into despair, it's an orphan behavior. But God, our Father, loves us. He's the hope in us and the hope that's to be given away. So we're going to break bread in a minute. Fred is just organizing that. When you take that, take it for yourself for the trials that you're in now. Okay, because we're all in different trials. So take it for yourself. But at the same time, can I just encourage you that in your prayers, as you receive with gratitude what God has given you, which is his life in your life, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never, never. Then let that be a choice in our lives. Let it be a prayer to say, I want, Lord, to make you known to others. Just imagine yourself giving that bread to someone else, your neighbor, whoever that needs Jesus. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to be the bread and the blood to them. So let's receive his grace for ourselves and let's just pray that we will be bringers of that grace to others. Okay. So I think Fred is just organizing that communion for us. I think Fred is just organizing the bread and the wine for us, so let's just pray.
Father God, Lord, we ask you for a fresh revelation. Lord, we can only feed others in the way we've been fed. And it's always about fresh bread from you, Lord. It's not about stale stuff. It's always about what is just freshly baked and what is living now. So we thank you, Father, that you feed us with fresh bread. And we just want to be the aroma of fresh bread to those around us. We want to be fragrant and good smelling to other people. Lord, we want to be able to feed them as you've fed us. And we want to bring Jesus to them. So thank you that you've given us a story. You've given us a testimony of not just how we were saved, but how you meet us now in the real, everyday nitty-gritty of life, in the difficult situations that face everybody, money, relationships, bereavement, work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us, Lord. And Father, we just want to be drawn into a greater intimacy with you, the lover of our souls. May we know, Lord God, in a new way. May we just linger long enough, Lord, long enough to get beyond our lists and know your love. May we linger long enough, Lord, for you to put a smile on our faces, for us to feel your touch. Lord God, just thank you so much. Father, Jesus, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.